Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we're going to explore the moral injuries of war and meet the team behind one of our state's most active Yellow Ribbon networks. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
From the halls of Montezuma to the mountains of Afghanistan, United States Marines have served valiantly in our nation's conflicts. Marines, past and present, have earned their place within its proud culture of traditions, symbols, and values. On November 10th, the Marines celebrate their birthday. The date was established as Marine Corps holiday in 1921 and carries many traditions. Marines around the world will celebrate with the reading of a birthday message from the Commandant, the cutting of a birthday cake by the commanding officer, and a presentation of the first and second pieces of cake to the oldest and youngest Marines present. Marines have fought, lived, and died with honor and continue the Marine Corps legacy of service to our nation. Semper Fidelis became the Marine Corps' motto in 1883. It guides Marines to remain faithful to their mission at hand, to each other, to the Corps, and to country, no matter what. Once a Marine, always a Marine, they say. Congratulations on the proud tradition of the United States Marines.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Dr. Irene Harris is a psychologist at the VA healthcare system in Minneapolis who has authored many articles and book chapters on the role of spirituality in mental health. Since coming to the VA in 2002, her work has been focused primarily on the spirituality in recovery from post-traumatic stress. She's developed a therapeutic intervention called Building Spiritual Strength that is designed to help veterans resolve both post-traumatic stress and the spiritual distress or moral injury that often accompanies trauma. Dr. Harris, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you so much for having me.
We also have in the studio from the Minnesota National Guard, Chaplain Major Buddy Wynn. Chaplain, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Tom. And on this Veterans Day weekend, I want to say thank you for your service and your partnership with the Minnesota National Guard.
Thank you, sir. And today we're here to talk about the VA study of moral injury. And Dr. Harris, I'd just like to get a little background. How long have you been working on in this general field, and what kind of education does it take to try to figure these things out?
Oh, what an excellent question. So I started my career in mental health as a rehabilitation counselor. And in that field, I was actually working with a lot of people who were dying, who had disabilities that were eventually going to take their life. So I started getting very interested in the existential issues that were playing a role in their mental health. When I came to the VA and began working with a lot of veterans who are managing PTSD, it became really evident to me clinically that spiritual issues were playing a major role in their PTSD and their ability to recover from PTSD.
And Dr. Harris, the spirituality aspect, is it before, during, or after the post-traumatic stress or whatever traumatic event has caused some problems?
That's a really good question, too. There's a lot of things that go into PTSD. Part of it is how well adjusted and what support the person has before they experience the trauma. And some of that has to do with after they experience the trauma. So spirituality plays a role in all three of these phases. What has gone on in terms of their spiritual training and beliefs and assumptions about the world before they encounter the trauma, what meanings they make in terms of their spiritual world when they do encounter the trauma, and how they interpret that spiritually afterward. All of those things make a big difference.
Dr. Harris, last Christmas we had Chaplain Wynn on, and we did a show on spiritual healing for our combat vets. Mm-hmm. And I think we reached the conclusion, Chaplain, that that's a good place to start. To come back from whatever traumatic event was causing trouble. But in your study, we're talking about moral injury. Can you define that for me?
Moral injury is just starting to be defined in the field. Research on it is really new. Essentially, it is the experience of seeing or violating one's own beliefs or precious values, and it can be either feeling that you have violated your own values yourself. It can be feeling that other people have violated sacred values. Often what I see with veterans is they feel or think that they have violated some of their own values, when in reality they are using that idea to convince themselves that they had control in a situation that they didn't. So it spares them the terror of feeling like they didn't have any control, but they pay for that in guilt. And long term, that's not a strategy that works.
So this could have been from an event where the enemy may have done something that was beyond their control, or the reaction of the service member could have been something that's outside of the way that they were, the norms from the way they were raised?
Absolutely. In current warfare methods, there's a lot of places where terrorists or even the older guerrilla tactics are really pulled specifically for moral injury. I hear a lot of veterans coming back telling stories about children or infants or animals wired with ordnance that they encounter, or situations where they are taking fire that's coming from the only hospital in a six-hour radius or a sacred building like a mosque. And even if they employ all of the rules of engagement absolutely correctly and they have done everything right, what they have had to do doesn't feel right. And the enemy has deliberately set that up to inflict moral injury.
So there was no perfect solution, but they had to take some action, and they did the best action possible. And upon reflection, they think, I've done something wrong.
Right. It doesn't feel right, even if it was the right thing to do. It's a situation where nothing looks or feels right.
We're speaking with Dr. Irene Harris and Chaplain Major Buddy Wynn on Minnesota Military Radio, and we're talking about a VA study of moral injury. And, Doctor, let's get to that study. You have some veterans that have joined your study, or or you interview them to see if they're eligible, and then they go through a series. Mm-hmm. But before we even get into that, who possibly needs help? There's got to be veterans out there. I know there's some Vietnam veterans, some of my buddies, that are now retired, and they're thinking about things that they did when they were in the war 40-some years ago. Mm-hmm. And sometimes those people don't think they need any help, or maybe think there's no help for them.
Right.
How do you identify a person that needs some help and someone that perhaps you can help?
Okay. The way that I would go about looking at whether or not a person needs help is there something going through your mind on a regular basis that is bugging you enough that you can't get done what you want to get done? Are you so preoccupied with that you're not there for your kids or your family in the way you want to do? Or are you so worried about this that you're not as effective at work as you would like to be, or that you were before you started getting preoccupied with this?
Chaplain, you must see soldiers and airmen that have been off to war and come back, and they're trying to go through the motions and do everything like they always have. How do you identify the soldiers and airmen that could use some help to resolve some of these issues?
Well, Tom, chaplains, as you know, have no shortage of work. Chaplains are always, you know, have the opportunity to be gainfully employed because of the issues that exist as a result of soldiers' participation in armed conflict. Chaplains' jobs are to ensure that we give soldiers an opportunity to kind of relieve themselves of that heavy baggage, no matter what that might be attached to. In the Army, we talk about the concept of resilience. And it falls into about five different categories. We've got family, social, emotional, physical, and spiritual. And chaplains are kind of the subject matter experts in the spiritual pillar of resilience, which helps our soldiers to deal with trauma, to deal with conflict, whether real or perceived, and to bounce back from those challenging experiences. So we're there throughout all phases of the deployment cycle, before, during, and after deployment, to be a resource to soldiers as they grapple with and wrestle with these difficult issues.
Dr. Harris, Chaplain Wynn, we have to take a short break. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about the VA study of moral injury on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and we've been speaking with Dr. Irene Harris from the VA healthcare system and Chaplain Major Buddy Wynn from the Minnesota National Guard about a new VA study on moral injury. Dr. Harris, we've been talking about veterans that are out there that might need some help and recognizing how they might need some help. And essentially, I think what you've told me is when things don't feel right, when things don't feel like they were normal, when there's something bothering you as a result of a deployment or going to war, then maybe that person should step up and say, let's talk about this and let's see if we can't sort it out.
Right. And if they're not comfortable with traditional mental health help, the Building Spiritual Strength Study is actually designed so that it doesn't look like or feel like traditional mental health services. The services are provided by chaplains rather than mental health providers, and they're generally provided in communities of faith rather than at medical centers.
And so you're running this study mm-hmm. on behalf of the VA, and who's eligible, and how do they sign up? How does this all work?
Okay. So folks who would be eligible for study would be veterans or active duty service members who have survived any kind of trauma. It doesn't have to be combat trauma. Some of our folks have combat trauma. We've got a fair number of folks with military sexual trauma, and we have a lot of people in the study whose traumas preceded their military service. But they have to be some type of trauma survivor. They have got to be stable enough that they can be in a group and work with other people in that group. And they have to be willing to consent to try a research study because it is an experiment. It's not a well-known intervention at this point. If people come into the study, they have a 50% chance of being sent to a spiritual support group and a 50% chance of being sent to a standard type of support group, but they are led by chaplains, and they're all in churches or communities of faith rather than at medical centers.
So, Doctor, if I'm a veteran, if I've had mm-hmm. some kind of a traumatic issue and I think I need some help, mm-hmm. where do I start? How do I get a hold of you?
Okay, so the first thing you would do is you would call Rachel, who is our communication management hub at the Building Spiritual Strength Study. Rachel's telephone number is 612-467-5737.
And Sergeant Ben will have that phone number up on their Minnesota Military okay. Radio Facebook page for anyone that didn't get it.
Great.
So they call that number.
They would call that number, and then Rachel will ask them 4011 questions to make sure that they are qualified to get into the study. If they pass all of Rachel's questions, they are then scheduled for an intake interview for which they get paid $50. So they'll come to the medical center. They will spend a couple of hours answering a lot of questions about how they're doing, what their faith background is, what kind of traumas they have experienced, and what kind of symptoms that they may be dealing with. After that intake assessment, if they pass and meet criteria for the study, they'll be scheduled to go to 8 group sessions generally at a church, but any faith community will do. And we've got churches working with us in the Twin Cities area. We've got churches working with us up in the Twin Ports area. We're about to start a new church working with us in the Rochester area. So we can actually reach quite a bit of the state if folks are interested. And they can be in either the spiritual group or the standard support group, but it will be at a church in the area. After the 8 weeks, they come back in for another assessment because we want to find out how much change we've gotten in moral injury and PTSD symptoms over the course of the 8 weeks. And after they do the second assessment, they get paid $150 for completing the assessment. So if you have some hesitancy about it, just remember you do get paid to deal with it. So you can at least try it and see if you can deal with this.
So, Doctor, briefly, what happens in those 8 weeks of the sessions?
Okay. In the control group, the standard support group, the veterans get together and they talk about problems that they are having right now with their PTSD symptoms, and they help each other problem solve. In the Building Spiritual Strength group, there are 8 sessions that teach them specific skills for resolving spiritual distress and using spirituality to resolve symptoms of post-traumatic stress. They spend a couple of sessions specifically looking at their relationship with the higher power, and we do something that is very similar to marriage counseling and helping people to resolve disruption in their relationship with their higher power. They're taught some practice skills, some homework skills, and spiritual coping strategy to help them reduce their symptoms. We spend at least one session looking at, you know, if there is this all-powerful, benevolent higher power out there, why does this stuff happen? It's an issue that most people encounter at some point in their life.
Chaplain, that's a great question.
That is a great question. And you know, I think that what the VA is doing is what all communities can do, and that is to help our service members, our veterans, make sense of their experiences in a safe environment. And whether that's in a group similar to what Dr. Harris is describing, whether this is in a counselor's office, whether this is with a battle buddy, you know, within a local faith community, church, parish, mosque, or synagogue, and maybe even in a family setting. And my encouragement to families is to not be afraid to ask their veterans about their experiences, but, you know, don't rush the response. Let the veteran tell their story in their time and at their pace. And that's one of the ways that we can help our veterans to heal through these traumatic experiences.
We're speaking with Dr. Irene Harris from the VA healthcare system and Chaplain Major Buddy Wynn from the Minnesota National Guard about a VA study on moral injury on Minnesota Military Radio. Doctor, in these sessions, in that one question, I think is one of those questions you just can't ever answer. How can a higher power allow these terrible things to happen? And I imagine it's one that we've forever people have grappled with, but you must have a way in those sessions to set that aside, deal with it and say, okay, it happened. There was a reason for it. Let's move on.
Yeah, what we do is we set up a structure to allow people to develop their own explanation for that. I have learned that you can't answer that question for anybody. They really do have to scratch and claw and climb that mountain for themselves. But we set up some way stations along the mountain to try to help them get up there. Spend one session on that, and yes, then we do move on to more coping strategies and also a couple of sessions working on forgiveness for themselves, for others, and for the world around them or their higher power.
Chaplain, how does your chaplain corps and the Minnesota National Guard fit into this study, and how do you work together with the Minneapolis VA healthcare system?
You bet, Tom. Well, as you know, we're on the front lines of soldier issues, and it's not all crisis. You know, a lot of what we do is just ministry by hanging around. Ministry of presence is what we call it. We ask a lot of questions. We see how people are doing. And when the chaplain shows up, people in crisis will find their way to a one-on-one conversation where the chaplain can, you know, really hear what's going on in their life. And if they're in a crisis, if they meet the criteria, then we'll let them know that one of the options is to pick up the phone and call Rachel and work with Dr. Harris and see if participating in a group like this will help them on the road to recovery. So really, we want to believe that what they're seeing is very genuinely true in their minds, and assess their situation and refer them as appropriate. A lot of times it's 2 days out of the month we're spending time with these soldiers, and we want to refer them out and then follow up with a phone call, an email, or checking in with them the following month at drill.
So this is really a tool in your toolbox to help our soldiers and airmen.
It is. And the other thing we've done is we brought Dr. Harris to our monthly collective unit ministry team training where all of our chaplains get together for, you know, branch-specific training. We've brought Dr. Harris in so that she can explain this program and let chaplains know how they can refer their soldiers to be a part of it.
Dr. Harris, that sounds challenging. A room full of chaplains and you have to tell them how to deal with this.
The most challenging thing for me is when I present to chaplains, most of these folks are ministers who present and speak to groups at least once a week. I'm a psychologist. I mostly listen to people. So I have to present to people who are used to speaking from the pulpit, and their standards for what public speaking is are much higher than I can ever meet. But most of them seem to be really excited about the knowledge that I'm able to share, and I really love working with the chaplains.
And that room would be praying for you to do a good job anyway.
Right.
Chaplain, is there anything we can do of a preventative nature to avoid moral injury before deployments?
That's a whole other show, Tom, quite frankly. And and what I want to say to veterans is if your situation, your issue, your concern, whatever is weighing heavily on you is not getting better, I want you to know, if you're listening, that there is hope to not give up and to not quit. And there are people who are out there who are school-trained, board-certified, card-carrying experts who care about you and want to help you. Talk to your chaplain. Call Rachel at 612-467-5737. Get involved and take some ownership in getting better. We're here to help.
Thanks, Chaplain. Dr. Harris, we just got about a minute left. Any final thoughts for our listeners and all those veterans out there that might have just something wrong in their life?
You know, one of the things I do want them to hear is if they think they're dealing with moral injury does not necessarily mean that you have done something wrong. In fact, most of the vets I work with think they've done something wrong, and they actually haven't. So don't feel too ashamed to come in and talk about the moral or spiritual things that are weighing on you. We can probably lift a lot of that weight.
So, Chaplain, like we said last Christmas, the first step is to forgive yourself and then seek the Lord's forgiveness and go out and get some help.
That's right, and don't do it by yourself. Saddle up with someone who cares about you. And if we're a soldier, we've all got battle buddies, airman, marine, Coast Guard, Navy, doesn't matter. We got people around us who care and want us to be healthy.
Chaplain Dr. Harris, thanks for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you.
That was Dr. Irene Harris from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System and Chaplain Major Buddy Wynn from the Minnesota National Guard talking about the VA study of moral injury. Please stay with us. We'll be back shortly to meet the team behind one of our state's most active Yellow Ribbon networks right here on Minnesota Military Radio.
You're listening to the Minnesota Military Radio Network. Stay tuned for more and follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.
Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to meet the team behind one of our state's most active Yellow Ribbon networks. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shelleteau.
I am honored to be with you this week as we prepare to celebrate Veterans Day across the state and nation. Veterans Day is truly a day to celebrate. Join us on November 11th at the Invergrove Heights Community Center for a Veterans Day celebration. Visit MinnesotaVeteran.org for more information. On Veterans Day, we celebrate the humble men and women who understand the call of duty, the meaning of honor, and the value of this nation. They did not serve for glory or fame. They served to preserve our way of life. For this, we honor them as America's finest citizens. It is because of our veterans who defend our country and embody its purpose and vision that we continue to be a prosperous and free nation. To our veterans listening, on behalf of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, it is my honor to say thank you for your service and happy Veterans Day.
Thank you, Commissioner Shelleteau. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now is the Director of Military Outreach, Annette Kuiper. Annette, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom.
We're going to have to put a swinging door in here. You keep coming back and back, and we're talking about a lot of great things. And today we want to talk about Farmington Patriotic Days. And that's an event held by Minnesota's first Yellow Ribbon City, which, if memory serves me correct, you had something to do with.
Yes, I did. I was part of that organization and still am. It's from my hometown, and I really want to take the opportunity today to highlight some of the great things our Yellow Ribbon networks are doing across the state.
And you brought a couple of special people from Farmington with you today.
I did. I really wanted to show how a community can come together and put together honoring and showcasing support for our service members, veterans, and military families. So I have Mayor Todd Larson and Superintendent Jay Haugen with me today, who's going to talk about Farmington Patriotic Days, which is something that any community can do to really showcase their support for service members, veterans, and their families.
Gentlemen, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks for having us.
Mr. Mayor, can you give us a little background on your community?
Oh, I'd be happy to. I'm always happy to talk about Farmington. Farmington is a city, a safe community of 22,000 people. Very friendly. And we just like to get together and have a good time, like celebrating our annual due days and the Patriotic Day, which is just
incredible.
Sure. I've been mayor for 6 years. I'm on my second term.
And did you have an election recently? It's coming up in a couple of years.
Yes, yeah.
All right, sir. And you brought with us Superintendent Haug. Superintendent, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Great to be here.
How have you been involved in the Yellow Ribbon program in Farmington?
Come to Farmington. I've been here there. The Yellow Ribbon was up and active, and the school has a big part in the Yellow Ribbon. Students are involved and staff are involved. The committee actually meets in one of our schools. I'm also part of the Lions Club and the Rotary Club, and they are also part of the Yellow Ribbons. You might say I'm immersed in the Yellow Ribbon and Patriotic Days.
So as the superintendent of the Farmington School District, you're heavily involved in this along with the mayor and
yes.
A lot of community leaders, and of course Annette Kuiper. Can't keep her away from those meetings, I would guess.
That's right. Annette has a part in drawing us all together.
Can you tell us about Patriotic Day celebration?
Well, maybe all does happen in our beautiful recital hall in our high school that has about seats 800, so it's a good place for this, and it needs to be that big. Actually, we will serve maybe 1,500 people at a meal before a Patriotic Day celebration actually begins in our area. So it's a time every year to get together to honor our veterans. And it's again, the time to pull together as a community.
Mr. Mayor, when did this idea come about, and who do you invite for this big dinner, 1,500 people for dinner? That's not like having them over for that at the house.
It's really not, and anyone that wants to show up and eat for free can show up and eat for free. It's an incredible program.
And how many years have you been doing this?
Since it started. Hmm. Yeah.
Good answer.
Yeah. It's 4 years. And just like a lot of things in the city, Annette gives me a call and tells me what I am going to do, and I do it.
I think a lot of people in the state get calls from Annette, and they have things to do, and they do it. Annette, was this your idea, Patriotic Day celebration?
No, actually, it came out of the school district, and how could we continue the wonderful tradition that the Farmington schools had with honoring veterans? We had been doing some things to honor veterans in the school district for many years, but the school district really wanted to take a look at how can, instead of just doing something in the school, how can we involve the whole community? And to make this happen, to have a free pork chop dinner, everyone gives funds to make this happen in Farmington. The Rotary Club, the school district, the Lions Club, the Farmington Yellow Ribbon Network puts all their money in a big pot to be able to hold a pork chop dinner with a hot pork chop dinner for 1,500 people. Then the school is very involved in it. All the kids in the school are volunteers. We have the special ed classes really help with getting the silverware ready, the art students and young children help with getting placemats colored. And it's just been a wonderful collaborative effort in the community of Farmington.
And the city council and the school board actually serve the meals.
That's right. Something to see.
So, Mr. Mayor, you're going to put on an apron and serve some pork chops.
I will have a suit and an apron on, yeah.
Oh, that'll be interesting. Superintendent, does this happen at one of your schools in a lunchroom? Or?
That's right. It happens at the high school. We have a new high school that's a beautiful facility, and it's good that it is so large, not only with the recital hall being big enough, but the lunchroom is large enough. We actually send live video into the lunchroom because everyone can't fit in an 800-seat recital hall who wants to attend. It's an amazing thing to see. And I wanted to expand, too, on what Annette was saying in your question about how this began. This is something that everyone can do because it does start in schools. Almost every school, I'm a 20-year superintendent, has these kind of Veterans Day and Patriotic Days celebrations. But it's that thought to bring everyone together that can grow this. And it's so important for our community and for our school district. So us, like our school district, like most, have service learning as one of our most important things in our strategic plan. Well, it's one thing to tell a student that you need to provide service. It's another thing to show them. And this is the time where hundreds of our students every year get to see adults show up, adults be there to honor veterans, to remember them. It's just thrilling, and you can tell in our student body that they just think that's part of life, and it's an important part of life to get involved in things and to show up. And so I can't say enough good things about being part of a community that does this.
We're speaking with Mayor Todd Larson, Superintendent Jay Haugen, and Annette Kuiper about the Farmington Patriotic Day celebration on Minnesota Military Radio. Superintendent, how many of your students are involved in this event?
There certainly are hundreds, because it's many of them are making a lot of making the decorations that are throughout the cafeteria, from running the video cameras, from greeting people, from serving people, to playing in the band, and singing in the choirs, and including, I think it's a fifth grade choir that's across the district that has hundreds. I wouldn't be surprised to hear that there are 700 or 800, if we ever counted them at one time, who have some role at some point in putting this on.
It's hard to count them. They're always moving.
That's right.
So, Superintendent, there must be a buzz and an excitement around the school district this week for this event.
Yeah, there absolutely is. And I actually miss it kind of the rest of the year. We start talking about it, and we start having a meeting to plan the next one like that next month. Because you see the seeds of it in our students the rest of the year, and the things they feel they can do, the things they feel are important. We have amazing things that go on all year, but I think that started from this kind of this building this culture through adults showing up.
So, Superintendent, do the students understand the importance? Do they understand the mission? Do they understand what this is all about?
You know, they do. One of the things that happens at each Patriotic Day is we have a contest, for instance, of students writing about, you know, the importance of, you know, patriotism or, those kind of issues. And so and the winner gets to read his or her work at Patriotic Day for 800 people on camera. It's actually televised live in our community as well. So there is just many, many ways that our students learn about the importance of this throughout the year. And this sparks all kinds of things, although we can do a better job. It's part of what we talked about before we came in here today. There is more we can do.
Annette, Mr. Mayor, Superintendent, we're just about out of time for this segment. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about the Farmington Patriotic Day celebration on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and today we've been talking about the Farmington Patriotic Day celebration with Annette Kuiper, the Director of Military Outreach, Todd Larson, Mayor of Farmington, and Jay Haugen, Superintendent of the Farmington School District. And Mr. Mayor, I want to come back to you. When we were talking to the superintendent, he showed us how the students are so involved in this and the purpose of pulling together underneath the umbrella of the Yellow Ribbon to help your communities. Your young people in your community are starting out at an early age trying to help our military. Isn't that fantastic?
It is fantastic, yes. In Farmington, we do military functions very well.
And Mr. Mayor, I know that you had a story you wanted to tell me about a person that came to you with some problems and how you helped her.
Yeah, this is a story I really enjoy talking about with the Yellow Ribbon Network. And there was an open house at City Hall. And they had artifacts and things that were over in the Gulf. And I was talking with a soldier, and he was explaining all these items to me and what they're used for, where they use them, and that type of stuff. And I noticed a young lady kind of wandering around, pacing back and forth by me. And after about 5 minutes of talking with the soldier, I kind of cut my conversation off with him. And I turned and introduced myself to her and asked her if everything was all right. And she broke down. And her husband had been deployed. She had a couple small kids. And I didn't know what to do other than introduce her to the Yellow Ribbon Network, in which I did. And she met with them that same day, that within the next couple of minutes. And I don't know how long they were in a room together, but I noticed that when they came out of the room, she left City Hall with a smile on her face. So it's just one of the ways that I've seen how the Yellow Ribbon Network works. It just kind of warms my heart to see.
And I would bet, Annette, that you were the lady that talked to her.
Well, yes. I mean, just connecting all of our residents to the Yellow Ribbon Network to see what kind of support efforts they have is just an amazing thing. And it's happening all across the state. We have over 90 networks now across the state that are doing similar things in Minnesota.
And you have periodic meetings with all of those networks, and you pull together all the best practices, all the wonderful things being done all over the state.
Yes, once a year we have a Joining Community Forces Minnesota event where all the Yellow Ribbon networks come together, and we're able to update them on initiatives, and we're able to share best practices like the Farmington Patriotic Day and kind of how a whole community can come together to showcase their support, and we can involve our military youth in communities across the state.
And Superintendent, you astonished me in the prior segment. All those students that are excited about this Patriotic Day celebration, it's really having an impact on your school district, isn't it?
You know, yes, it really has, and it has become part of our culture. And I know our kids are going to be more successful and more positive members of society because of this and then all that comes out of it. Our students have a number now of self-directed service projects that they do that are just at the size of Patriotic Day. This now is just one thing throughout the year where our students are part of this kind of service. And I think it's changing everything. I think our students do better in the classroom because of things like this, and in particular Patriotic Day.
So they've sorted out how to have an impact on the community and each other and to help make a difference in other people's lives.
Yeah, that's right. And it gives them a purpose. When you have that purpose, you know, everything starts to matter. And this is a purpose that really matters.
Mayor Larson, Farmington was Minnesota's first Yellow Ribbon City and has been for how many years, Annette?
5 years. They just had their five-year anniversary last year.
Congratulations on 5 years. But, Mr. Mayor, has that become second nature now in Farmington, that these Yellow Ribbon activities and helping military families is just part of your way of life?
No. It's always exciting. We don't take it for granted by any means. And it's really neat to see, if I can go on just a little bit here, is I'm on the email list. So I'll see a request come out. And it might be just a simple request, like someone needs their garage cleaned, a military family. And within an hour, I'll see the next email that said request fulfilled. You know, it just happens that fast. It could be plumbing. It could be a ride to the grocery store. And as soon as that request goes out, within an hour, that request has been taken care of. And it just, you see it almost weekly.
Mr. Mayor, how many people are active in your Yellow Ribbon Network in Farmington?
That I don't know.
Annette?
I would say about almost 300. They have a little over 200 volunteers, and they have a core committee of 25 people that are on, they volunteer on the Patriotic Day committee, and they're involved in other things in the community. But the core committee is about 25 people, and every time they have an event, they get more and more volunteers that want to help.
Annette, are you still doing the white tablecloth dinner for the mothers and grandmothers?
Yes, that's offered by the Farmington Yellow Ribbon Network every year in May. And St. Michael's Church in Farmington is the host for that every year. And then we also offer monthly veteran dinners. So all the veterans come together. And these are hosted by all the churches of Farmington the first Monday of every month. So it's an opportunity to bring together all the veterans in our community.
Superintendent, we're running out of time. Any final thoughts for our listeners?
Well, the final thought is this is a thing that's going to continue in Farmington. We have the one, I think was the first chapter then, of high school students who began their own chapter of the Yellow Ribbon. And so you can see the seeds will continue to be sown. And we also see it as part of our mission to help other communities. So any help we can give to any other communities, any other school districts or cities, we're happy to provide.
Superintendent, I wish the listeners could see the smile on your face when you said that the students had their own subsection of the Yellow Ribbon. Yeah. Mr. Mayor, just a few seconds left. Any final thoughts for our listeners?
Yes. Patriotic Day is a fantastic community event, and I think every community should at least try it. If you try it once, you will continue, and it's really easy to start. Just find someone with some passion and some energy and put it together.
Gentlemen, thanks for joining us today. Annette, you've got about 10 seconds. Any final thoughts?
Well, I just would like to thank the city of Farmington and all our Yellow Ribbon cities who are doing these wonderful things in their community to bring people together and to honor and recognize our service members and their families.
Thank you. That was Annette Kuiper, Director of Military Outreach, Todd Larson, Mayor of Farmington, and Jay Haugen, Superintendent of Farmington School District, talking about the Farmington Patriotic Day celebration. Joining me now is the president of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers, David Anderson. David, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Well, thank you, Tom. How are you doing today?
Well, we had a great show and a lot of good information for our listeners, but right now we want to talk about VA compensation. What is it and how does it work?
Well, VA compensation is simply, it's a monetary amount paid for injuries received in the service that may be detrimental to your health or job or things like that.
And this is as a result of something that happened while you were in the military?
Yes. It's usually a something that happened while you were on active duty, or it could have manifested itself 1 year, within 1 year of coming off of active duty. Now, there's other types of service connection for, say, Agent Orange exposure or something like that. But those would be as a result of being stationed in a certain place, like Vietnam or something like that. But you can also get VA's compensation for that.
So if our veterans think they have some issues related to their service in the military, they should get their 214 and come visit their county veteran service officers, and then you help them process a claim to determine whether or not it was military or service-related.
Yes, and if that claim is approved, then depending on the severity of the injuries or resulting diseases or illnesses, they will get a compensation award amount anywhere from 0 to 100%, which at each 10% increment, it is different. There is different amounts of money associated with that.
So the rating you get or the percentage of disability you get is directly related to the amount of compensation you get for as a result of that injury.
Yes, yes. And the way the rating itself works is the VA says at a 0% rating, you have a 0% chance of not getting a job. Now, as the rating goes up, you may have anywhere from a 30 to 50 to 70 to 100% chance that you may not get a job. That's where they're paying you. It isn't based on, it is based on the injuries, but it's based on a percentage of likelihood of not being able to obtain life-sustaining work.
So if you have some kind of a progressive disease, does the rating change as it gets worse?
Yes, yes. The one that probably most people are familiar with, as a result of Agent Orange, the veteran would get diabetes. Well, now in the first stages of diabetes, that can be anywhere from, excuse me, a 10 to 30% disability rating. As the disease progresses, and you're in insulin and in, you know, worried about insulin shock and things like that, you could be all the way up to 100%.
So as it gets worse, they come back to you and you update the paperwork and see what happens.
Yes, we actually put in, there are actually new claims for increase of compensation and things like that. Now, with that being said, it can also work the other way. If a veteran, say, hurt his back, is having severe back problems, gets a 40% rating for a back, and then the VA goes back and fixes the back so that now he has better range of movement and things like that, the rating will go down. It can actually drop from 40 down to 30, down sometimes even to zero, depending on how well they were able to fix the problem.
Interesting, a double-edged sword. David, we're just about out of time, so the moral of the story is keep in touch with your county veteran service officer.
That's exactly right, Tom.
Thanks for joining us today again, David.
All right, and I would like to wish all the veterans a happy Veterans Day.
And the same to you. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
That was David Anderson, the president of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers. We're just about out of time. We have one announcement today. Attention all Marines. Join your fellow Leathernecks in celebrating the Marine Corps birthday on 10 November at 4 p.m. at Keegan's Irish Pub in Northeast Minneapolis. No cost, dressed as casual. SOS will be available for $5.95 and Founding Fathers beer for $3. All Marines will rate one free drink. For more information, go to keeganspub.com. Happy birthday and Semper Fi. I'd like to thank you for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio, and I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Dr. Irene Harris, Chaplain Major Buddy Wynn, Todd Larson, Jay Haugen, Annette Kuiper, David Anderson, Commissioner Larry Shalito of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we take an in-depth look at veterans' homelessness across the state. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.